Morning, I would invite you to open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to be studying from this morning. We want to let you know, if you're visiting, we are so happy you're here. It's encouraging to have you here, and we want you to be back again with us soon. It's always good to see our regular members here. Isn't it good to be together to worship God? It sure is. We are obviously missing David this morning. He's up in Lauderdale County in a gospel meeting, and so we'll pray for him this week and pray for Ms. Belinda because we know she misses him, and we hope that he has a good week this week. So you're stuck with me this morning. No, I'm just kidding. We're happy to be here this morning. It's been a good week. We're so thankful for Logan's decision to obey the gospel Wednesday night. We're so blessed. It's so wonderful. And we... hopefully, maybe there will be some here even this morning that if they've been deciding or thinking about doing that, maybe they'll think about it more this morning and maybe make that decision if they need to. Last Sunday night, we talked about two major cities, Jerusalem and Jericho. And interestingly enough, faith was the reason that Jerusalem came down, and faith was the reason Jericho came down. But two different types of faith. Faith was the reason that Jericho came down because the people of God had righteous faith, which produced works when they marched around the city, the walls came down. But when the people in Jerusalem began to lose their faith and lack in faith, their walls fell not because of their lack in faith. And so this morning I want to talk about how to grow our faith big. Kind of continuing on our thought process from last Sunday night. We all need faith. Faith is the confidence. It's the conviction that God will do what He says He's going to do. It's the confidence in things hoped for that God has told us about in His Word. And ultimately, it's the conviction to do those things. It's working faith that we're talking about. That's the kind of faith God is pleased with. And again, we talked about that last week. But ultimately, I think the lessons we learned from those two cities is we've got to have strong faith in our life. Strong faith. Faith that's strong enough to where, just like Jerusalem, if we encounter things in our life that might lead us astray, problems in our life that might tempt us to go away from God, we've got to have faith that's strong enough to hold on and say, no, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to be like Jerusalem. When things tempt me, I'm going to stay strong. And so when we look at God's Word, we realize that Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's how we have strong faith. We build our faith by God's Word. But as we look to God's Word, I think we find teaching that Jesus is doing specifically in Matthew 6 that will help us accomplish that purpose. Taking His Word, doing the things that He says, and that will strengthen our faith. So this morning I want to talk about two private things that we can do to build our faith, to grow our faith stronger and stronger and stronger. These are things that Jesus has taught us to do already. But hopefully this morning, and hopefully we're doing these things this morning, but hopefully after the lesson this morning, your faith, or you will be prompted to do these things more and more often, as Jesus has taught us to do. The first thing that Jesus talks about doing in Matthew chapter 6 is giving. Now, if you read and you think about this, how does giving grow our faith? How can giving privately help me to grow my faith? Well, read with me in Matthew 6, if you will, verses 2 through 4. Matthew 6, verses 2 through 4. It says, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it as the hypocrites, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Let's stop right there with verse 2. Giving grows our faith because when we give in a private way, when we give with no one watching us, it teaches us to rely on God's praise rather than men's praise. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with getting a pat on the back. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with somebody complimenting us. But think about the dangers of our faith going away. What kind of things take our faith away? When you read in the Bible, when men begin to lose their faith, a lot of times it was because of pride. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and 16 says whenever Uzziah became king and he became strong and he began to be well known and renowned throughout Israel, guess what happened? He forgot about God. When we give in a private way, when we help others privately, it basically avoids that temptation. We don't have to worry about that. Because the thing is that when we receive the praise of men over and over again or on a regular basis and we begin to kind of eat that up and enjoy that, that could very well take our faith away or sway our faith. Let me give you an example. Think about King Saul, okay? King Saul was appointed by God, the first king of Israel. He was a very faithful king for a certain amount of time. But when he found out that God was taking his kingdom away because he didn't do what God had asked him to, what do you think his reaction was? Notice what Samuel told him here. Samuel told him that the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel away from you. What was Saul's reaction? I think Saul's reaction will tell you what he was putting his faith in at this moment in time. Saul's reaction was, I've sinned, yet honor me now, please, before who? The elders of my people and before Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 15. He was so concerned with what Israel and the elders were going to think about him, he had lost his true faith. That was in God. He didn't do what David did in Psalm chapter 51 when he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, because I have sinned before you. David said, do not cast me away from your presence. David was so concerned about his faith in God and about his personal relationship with God that that was the first thing on his mind. But unfortunately, Saul wasn't that way. I think in our life, when we're thinking about what is the very most important thing in our life, the praise of God is the most important thing. Are we doing things that would bring God's praise to our life? And when you read in Matthew chapter 6, we're basically saying, God, I trust you enough to blank. God, I trust you enough to give my money. God, I trust you enough that if I give privately, that you're going to reward me. And even if you're the only one who knows it, even if you're the only one who ever sees me do it, I trust that you will praise me and be with me and bless me. That's faith. Is that not the most ultimate kind of faith? Because that is what God is calling us to do. I think one of the reasons that this is true is when we read in 1 Peter 5. It's because God resists the proud. You know, you ever heard the term resisting arrest? If somebody is resisting arrest, they're trying to avoid being arrested at any cost possible. God resists the proud. Why is that? Because when we become prideful people or when we let the praise of men kind of fill us up inside, we don't want the praise of God anymore. But He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. That's what God's looking for. I heard it said one time that pride has been defined as the landmine of godly men and women. We're walking along one day, it begins to infiltrate us, we hit it and we explode. That's what happened to Saul. That's what can happen to us if we're not careful. But if we are relying on God's praise alone, our faith will grow. We won't begin to have faith in the praise of men. If we can rely on God's reward, that's, I think, what's going to prompt us. Look at Matthew 6, back in verse 2. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Those who were giving to be seen of men and those who were doing righteous things that enjoy getting praise from men and enjoy getting compliments from men, they've received the reward in full. Because they've already got the reward. Their reward was their pat on the back or their, you know, encouragement or their, you know, blessings from other people because they give. You kind of think about whenever, and I think what Jesus was talking about here was whenever they would go up to the temple, they would see the poor and the lame and the blind laying along the sides of the temple. And there would be some who would go over to them when there was a big crowd around them and give them things. And, you know, they would basically receive all their praise. But obviously there were some who would go over nonchalantly, you know, not with anybody around, and just give. And that builds our faith because we begin to rely on God's reward. We say to ourselves, we don't care about what other people say. All we care about is that God is going to bless us. God is going to reward us. That's really a way to grow our faith if you think about it. Because it is a huge act of faith to trade a short-term reward for a long-term reward. On this earth, what do we get when we do things to be seen of men, or what do we get when we give to make people happy? We get a short-term reward. We might get a compliment. We might get a praise. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with encouragement. But when we give privately on a regular basis, like what Jesus is saying here, we're trading our short-term reward for a long-term reward. And what we're really saying is that, God, I trust that your reward is greater. Your reward is greater than anything in this world. And that helps strengthen our faith, because we are truly putting our faith in God's reward. What He's told us. Eternity, heaven, His honor, His praise, God's. And that's a true act of faith when we're willing to do that. Luke chapter 14 is an interesting passage, because in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is basically describing the same thing. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Because, not because, you know, you called up the local news reporter and told him, hey, I'm going to have everybody out here and it's going to be a big thing, or not because you made a big presentation of it, but because they cannot repay you. That's an act of faith. If you do something kind for somebody who cannot repay you, you're basically saying, God, I trust you. I trust you that if I give my money, I'm not going to go hungry. If I help this person, you're going to take care of me. That is extreme faith. That's a great faith. And ultimately, it's faith that relies on the resurrection of the just. Our faith is strong enough to where we automatically believe that we are going to have a home in heaven. God is going to resurrect the dead. And we give to others with no doubt of that. That's a strong faith. That's the kind of faith Jesus is calling on us to have. Think about it. When you go volunteer somewhere, when you go try to volunteer, what kind of short-term praise do you get? Well, if you go by yourself, or if it's just you and your wife, or it's just two or three other people, you know, you get some encouragement from being there, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but ultimately, you're just doing what God has asked you to. If you go invite someone into your home, you may not get a huge celebration thrown for you. You may not get your picture in the paper. But you're doing what God has asked you to. You're relying on God's reward. You're trusting God and saying, God, if I give a few minutes of my money, or if I give a few minutes of my time, you're going to bless me. God, I trust that. I believe that. That's great, great faith. Or if we do the other things that we need to be doing, giving to the needy, visiting, taking food, we're trusting that we're doing what God has asked us to do. And we truly believe that. But you know, sometimes we may not think about this, but have you ever done something good for someone and not just felt wonderful after you got done? I've never gave something to someone, and I'm not trying to be public about this, but I've never given something to someone who needed it and felt terrible about it. But I think that's one of the blessings we receive. Proverbs 11 says, a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Why? Because we're receiving honor from God. God considers us esteemed. It doesn't say here if we give $100, we're going to get $1,000 back. No, that's not what it's saying. It says we will be refreshed. Why? Because we've completely given over to what God wants us to do. We've bought in completely and we've said, God, I trust you. I trust you. And I'm going to do what you've told me to. And I'm going to have faith in that. That's great faith. I think ultimately what God is saying here is that giving, or what Jesus is saying here, is that giving teaches us complete reliance on God. And I think the reason is pretty simple. I think in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it begins us to help explain why it's connected to faith. 1 Timothy 6 and 17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth. Stop right there. We had a statistic the other day. I don't remember who I got it from. But the statistic is, if you make, it's like $15,000 to $20,000 a year. If you make that, you're in the upper 5% of the worldwide population. We're rich. We're way, way, way blessed beyond our belief. I think each and every one of us here could attest to that. So let's just replace those who are rich in this present world with us, because we are blessed. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope and wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Everything that we hinge our hope on is faith. We don't put our hope in wealth. We put our hope in God. When we give to others privately, it teaches us a strong amount of faith, because no longer are we putting our hope in wealth. Our hope is completely in God. That's what we've done. That's why it teaches us complete reliance on God. God wants us to trust Him completely now. How would He get us to do that? Call on us to give up the things that we rely on the most. And I hate to say this sometimes, but isn't money what we rely on the most sometimes? Because it's our means of sustenance. Maybe we grew up poor, and now that we've got a little bit of money, it's hard to give that money away. Maybe, you know, we feel like that we're, you know, going to struggle. We don't want to give that money away. How would God get us to trust in Him now? He would do that by calling on us to give up the things that we trust in the most. Notice the next verse here in 1 Timothy 6. Let them do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. So how can we build up a hope in God rather than a hope on this earth? Be willing to do good, ready to share. But how does that do that? How does that teach stronger in faith in God, Justin? It's because it teaches us to store up for ourselves a good foundation for when? For the time to come. See, if we're doing what God has asked us to and we're giving to others privately now, we're not concerned with things in this earth anymore. We're saying, God, I completely trust in You, and I trust that I'm laying up for myself a foundation for the time to come. That is complete reliance on God. That is one way we can really grow our faith, because we want to lay hold on eternal life, not anything on this world. So I think the challenge for us is, don't we all trust God for the life to come? How many people in here don't trust God for eternity? I don't think you'd be here if you didn't, would you? No. We trust God for the life to come. I think the challenge is for us to trust God every step of the way until we get there. He wants us to trust Him right now. Right now. And that is how we can grow our faith strong. Because giving helps us to build up our faith strong and huge. The second thing that Jesus calls on us to do in a private way is to pray. Private prayer. What can private prayer do? Flip over to Matthew chapter 6, if you will, please. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. It says, when you pray, you must not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. How does going in a closet, or how does going by myself going to help me increase my faith? Well, I think the first reason is because basically you're breaking it down to the most simple element possible. It is just you and God. You and God. Me and God. That's it. Nobody from here is there. Nobody is with you. It's just you and God. You go in that closet and you're trusting that God is listening to your prayer. You know, the thing about it is, when it says that one of the reasons He says not to pray hypocritically is because you may be seen by men, I think a lot of times it can be hard for us sometimes to pray privately, because when we go do things alone, we've got to have the discipline. We've got to have the faith. We've got to have the courage to do those things. And you know, sometimes even people in the Bible had difficulties doing things alone. But even that grew a huge faith. Think about 1 Samuel chapter 17 when David went to fight Goliath, not Daniel. Wrong chapter. Book. When David went to fight Goliath, he was alone. He told everybody around him, why is this giant rebuking the God of Israel? Why is he cursing the God of Israel? Who will stand against him? Nobody would. but he did. Now, think about this. When he was walking, you know, he couldn't put the armor on. Saul's armor was too big. When he was walking down toward that giant, he was all alone. But did that not give him a strong faith in God? A strong, strong, strong faith in God? Sometimes when we do things alone, it can be the greatest moment of our faith because it is just us and God. I think that's the way it is with our private prayers. I can be who I am because it is just me and God. I can talk to God about the things that I need to talk to God about. If I've sinned during that day, if I'm having a problem with sin, I can talk to God about it. Maybe it's something of a private nature that I wouldn't feel comfortable about talking to people in the assembly. I can talk to God about it because it's me and God. I need to do those things. People in the Bible did those things. One of the greatest examples I can think of is Jonah. We're not going to read this. But in the story of Jonah, I think one of his most spiritual moments in his life was when he was in the whale's belly. And it was him and God. And he said, God, this is what I've done. God, this is who I am. God, this is what I need. That is a great act of faith because it's just us and God. Our faith has grown because we are completely trusting that God is hearing us. Nobody's around. Praying helps to grow our faith because we can truly pour our heart out to God when it's just me and God, when we're in the closet praying, when we're by ourselves praying. I mean, I would like to think each and every one of us could pour our hearts out to one another. But the thing is, when you have to ask the most difficult questions of life, when someone you love has passed away, when you're having a strong, strong difficulty, when your faith is suffering, only when we begin to pour our hearts out to God will our faith grow. I want you to take, for example, the prophet Habakkuk. This is so interesting. Habakkuk was a prophet during the divided kingdom. And he, like most of us at times in his life, had questions. He had difficulties. And this is what he did. In the first chapter of Habakkuk in verse 2, he began to say things to God. How long shall I cry out for help and will you not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity and why do you idly look at wrong? He had some issues. He had some faith issues. But I want you to notice something amazing about the prophet Habakkuk. At the end of his prayer or his conversation with God, it's only a 3-chapter book. At the end of his conversation with God, I want you to notice what he left that conversation with and why it helped him to grow his faith. Because he poured out his heart before God and he left with peace. He left with something he never had before he started his conversation with God. He had peace. Look at what it says in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. He says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines. The produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. He says, yeah, things may not go perfect in this life. I realize that. But I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. He says, even though things are not going to go perfect in this life, I've prayed to my Lord, and I realize that I can rejoice in Him. He is my salvation, and He is my strength. Praying to God privately helps to grow our faith because we have peace when we leave our prayer. If we're in the right relationship with God. James 5:16, the faithful, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Think about all the times in the Bible this is true. Flip your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 4, if you will, please. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. I was having a good conversation with a friend of mine recently who's having some troubles spiritually. And the truth is, he, along with the rest of us at times in our life, have to grow our faith stronger. Private prayer does that. I want you to read this verse with me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay? Anxiety sure can lead to a lack of faith. Do you agree with that? When we get worrisome and anxious about things, that's when our lack of faith comes in. But keep reading. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And, okay, what's it going to say there? And God is going to give you exactly what you asked for? No. No, that's not what we're saying here. It says there, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. That's why it makes our faith grow stronger and stronger. Because we begin to rely completely on God and not ourselves anymore. We go to God in prayer when we have problems. We never leave Him out. That's exactly what it says about Hannah when she was praying about a son. She couldn't have a child. And she poured her heart out to God. That's what it says there. She left with peace. Praying grows our faith because it teaches us complete reliance on God. It's no longer me that can get things done in my life. It's only God. And only with His help and strength can I do anything in my life. Think about it. How would God get us to trust Him now? How could God do that? How would He get us to do that? I think He would call on us to give up things that we value the very most. And when we lock ourselves in a closet or put ourselves in a secret place like what Jesus is talking about here, we give up one of the most precious commodities in our life. What is that? Time. Time. We live 24 hours each day. We're confined to a certain number of days in our life. So what do most people think about time? I never have enough time. Well, that can be certainly true in a lot of cases. But when you give a portion of your time over to God in private prayer every day, you're saying, God, I trust You with my time. God, I believe that if I go to You in prayer every single day, that You are going to be with me. That's how we grow our faith strong. That's how we move forward. It teaches us to do something that nothing else in this world will do. It teaches us to number our days because we realize that if we are doing what God has asked us to, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If we're praying to Him on a regular basis, we realize that we only have a certain number of days. And even though it seems like we never have enough time, the truth is in eternity, we'll have nothing but time. Why not prepare our hearts now by talking to our Lord on a regular basis, giving Him our time now, because He truly controls our time. It's in His hands. Giving ourselves over to prayer truly helps us to grow our faith. He calls on us to give up the things we trust in the most. Ephesians 5, some versions say redeeming the time, but this version says making the best use of our time. Making the best use of our time. We're telling God, I trust You with my time. I trust that if I pray to You today, God, You're going to hear me. And You're going to be with me. And You're going to bless me. It may not be what I want. I may not get that new car. But You're going to hear me and You're going to bless me. And I trust You, God. Maybe that's a challenge for all of us, including myself today. Are we giving ourselves over to these private disciplines? Are we giving ourselves over to this? If we are, I think our faith will continue to grow. Why? Because just like in Jerusalem, the days are evil. The days are difficult. There's things around us constantly that pull and tug at our faith, that challenge us. So we've got to be building up our faith as strong as possible. We've got to be trusting, especially through prayer, that the wisdom that comes only from above will come. Do we trust in that? I think to sum it up, as we said earlier, we trust God for the life to come. All of us trust God for eternity. I hope we do. There may be some here this morning that aren't trusting God for eternity, that haven't put their faith in God and haven't become a Christian yet and aren't living a faithful life. If you haven't begun trusting God, I hope you do this morning. It's only through Him that we can have ultimate peace, ultimate fulfillment, and ultimate hope. God wants us to trust Him right now. If you're not a Christian this morning, I'd like to invite you to become one. Maybe you don't understand the plan of salvation. We'd love to explain it to you this morning. Very simply put, believing in Jesus Christ, you would make a confession of Him. Repenting of your sins, you would be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then you would live a faithful life for God. Revelation 2:10. Maybe you still don't understand. We'd like to help you. Or maybe you're a Christian this morning who has begun to kind of wander away from your faith. We'd like to help you with that this morning. If we can do that, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.